Good morning. Good morning. Welcome to summer 2023 at Spruce Lake. We work all year for this date to come. And I was around here yesterday greeting many of you and smiling as I saw you because it just makes us happy to see people coming back for the summer and coming into the property and being here. But this morning I had a lot more fun because I saw a lot of the staff returning. And every time I turned around, I see returning staff, and that makes me smile more because that means I'm going to get some help. So, guys, we are in summer of 2023, and there is a lot that has happened in our world over the last number of years. And there's a passage of scripture that we've been concentrated on for the theme this year based on saved by grace. And I find it to be a passage that is speaking directly into the culture of today. Join me in reading Ephesians 2, verses 1 through 10. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our own flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were all, by nature, deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in our transgressions. It is by grace you've been saved. And God raises up us with Christ and seats us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming age he may show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness through Jesus Christ. For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. It is not of yourself. It's a gift from God. Not works, so that any man could boast, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared for us in advance. Let's pray. Lord, this verse and these passages speak to us. They've been given to us to lead us through a life full of weirdness and strangeness and different people in our lives and different stresses in our lives. This morning as we look at it, give us your eyes. Lord, have them forget the words said and only hear the Spirit speaking to them within. Guide this conversation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you guys have noticed I'm not Tony Beckett, and I apologize for those that booked this retreat to hear him. We need to keep him in prayers. He lost his brother-in-law on Thursday and asked if we could let him off, and we gladly obliged. So keep him in prayer, as it is it's a difficult time for he and his family. Grace is a difficult thing. It's a difficult balance. There is a part of me that wants to just be all about it because I'm broken. And if I don't have grace for those that are broken around me, who am I? What am I called to be if not grace-filled? But then you get called this love, joy, peace guy as a leader in a Christian church. And you get labeled as you don't really stand for anything. So then you lean over towards truth. And I'm going to stand on the truth. And honest to goodness, in this culture, that just comes off as harsh. And that's difficult because it doesn't change it. It just comes off that way. And I'm going to be very honest with this crew because you are Spruce Lake sitting here this morning. I've been called both a liberal and a conservative in the same lobby of the same building on the same day. I kid you not. 10 a.m. and 2 p.m. Different people. Wasn't bipolar, different people. But the reality of it is this is the balance of our lives these days. This conflict between the truth that the gospel gives us and the mess of our world is constant. I don't think there's a better concept to discuss these days than grace. We have none of it for anybody else right now. Our culture has none of it for somebody that's different than them. They don't share it. They don't want to give it. They, at best, stay on their side of the street, and at worst, run in conflict with one another. Consider how it's defined. Typical biblical definition, undeserved favor. Who grants the other person in our current culture undeserved favor? When you see that happen, you like want to clap. It's that rare right now. In fact, I had such a bad day this week that my wife wanted to get out of the car while I was driving. I had no grace for that man in front of me. None. In fact, I gave a little honk for about 20 to 30 seconds to let him know I was still there. I had no grace that day. I had nothing left within me to give that man who was being ridiculous, honestly. Honestly, I'm not making that up. Driving halfway between two lanes at 40 miles an hour on a two-lane highway at 60, it was 65, 4 miles after he cut me off. I'm sorry, Lord. The reality of it is I had no grace that day. We're not talking about having a bad day today. We're talking about how we live life. It's different. We all can have bad days. Just ask my wife. She's lived with a lot of them. The reality of it is grace is unconditional favor as a state of being. Going into a day saying, I'm going to grant grace to others in order that yet I may be in relationship with them at some point in the future that may help or may guide the journey. How did Jesus show this? Peter, who at his most defined time of need, denied him 3 times. What was Jesus' response to that denial? Peter, do you love me? 3 times. Peter, do you love me? Lord, do you know I do? Feed my sheep. Do you know the story where Jesus stood with him and restored this man who stood him up on the night he needed friends? Unmerited favor. Zacchaeus, come down. What? He's the IRS, man. Let him up in the tree. We don't like those guys in our human nature. The reality of it is Jesus looked up and saw a person that was literally seeking him the only way he could. Zacchaeus, come down. I'm going to have dinner at your house today. Unmerited favor. Woman at the well. A Jewish man should not have been where he was. That well was in the wrong spot, in the wrong territory, at the wrong time. In the heat of the day, which nobody should have been there getting water, let me give you the water of life. It's true, you don't have a husband. The fact of that conversation and Jesus making himself available to it, unmerited favor, grace. I'm going to risk losing a bunch of you in the next 4 minutes, I promise you. Stay with me. We're going to get somewhere. Don't get upset with me. I'm not picking a fight, okay? Our culture has no grace for one another. The division in our culture today is greater than I've seen it in my 55 years. It's done from our government levels to our schools to our townships, to our workplaces, it's there. Who's not experienced one of the following arguments or discussions, as we like to call them in those politically correct conversations? Republican versus Democrat. Do not leave me. I'm not going political on y'all. Republican versus Democrat. We can't have a civil discord in this culture anymore. There can't be a discussion of the differences between the two parties because we're too ticked off with one another. Maskers, non-maskers. Ooh, don't touch that one. I don't care. They've both been here. But pick a fight? Wait, I could do that easy. Just start it. Vax, non-vaxed. Let's go even deeper. White versus any other cultural difference. And let's not forget the big one. Straight versus gay, or any of the other things that we want to throw rocks at these days. I'm sure that you've gotten my point by now. And you'll admit with me some that we have no grace for one another on these topics at least. I started listing this as cultural differences. Our world is broken. I don't care about the conflicts our cultures are having when I see those very conflicts in our church. I'm not talking about the culture. I'm talking about what's happened on these grounds in the past 2.5 years. Inside the churches that come here. Inside the leaders of the... Guys, the culture is reflected, and I'm seeing it where I really am most concerned about it in the church. We've been divided. Successfully divided, and it has now defined us. Many of us live in those definitions of them and us. That's not how Christ led us. That's not how he showed us to walk on this earth. Others. Who are the others in your life? Ephesians 2 says this, "As for you, you were once dead in your transgressions and sins in which you used to live." It goes on in verse 3, "All of us lived among them at one time." So in this argument between church and others, or them, or those people, we were those people. In fact, there are days we are those people. And Christ has unmerited favor for us, unmerited grace in our journey. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we deserved wrath. There is no difference. We are others. We are them. Pick your topic. I can give you the list. Now, we'll skip that for now. We'll list it later. But that's not how Christ would deal with us. That's not how he met us. Whatever your other is, he met us where our other was. I know, terrible grammar. My English teacher was always upset with me. The fact of the matter is Christ met us as an other. And he gave us unmerited grace. Verse 4 goes on and says, "Because of his great love, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive in Christ even when we were dead in transgressions." Peter, do you love me? Have you heard those words from Christ? Come down from that tree. Have you heard those words from Christ in your life? The gap and division between us and God was solved by Christ's grace on the cross and his gift to us moving forward. About this time, some of you are going, "Yep, love, joy, peace guy. You don't know me very well." Some people in the room go, "No, the best description of me is Lisa Farrar worked here for about 12 years with me. And she came in my office one day. She said, 'I figured you out.' And I went, 'Oh, this will be good.' And she said, 'You're a teddy bear.' And I said, 'A teddy bear?' She says, 'Yeah, all fuzzy and warm, but there's this resistance inside you that is solid as a rock.'" There is truth in our world. Our world needs to hear the truth, and they are not following and walking within the truth. And many of us in our churches and in our personal lives are not following the truth either. So on the truth side, what shall we then say? Shall we go on sinning? Again, Romans 6, verses 1 to 3 or so. Shall we go on sinning so that grace may increase? By no means. We are those who have died to sin. How can we live any longer? They're not talking to our cultural world. These verses are speaking to us who accept Christ as our Savior. And they're saying, hey, this grace was free. Don't waste it and stay where you were stuck. So there is truth. And I'm harsh on truth, on myself, and on the church. The people, even in church, we got to find grace for. There's differences. There's truth that we have to speak to. But if we lead with truth, we never get to speak to those people. The truth outlined in scriptures is directed towards the believer, not the other. It wasn't directed to speak to the other in truth and saying, truth is what you have to have in order to come in these doors. That's not the way Christ taught us. That's not what he modeled for us. Guys, we don't live in the Garden of Eden. It's broken. And it's broken. And it's broken. And guess what? So are we. As Christians, we walk as broken human beings, living only as Christ wants us to live in his graces, because we can't get it any other way. But when you take that truth and weaken it as a believer and use it as a tool or a weapon in some point as a believer, the truth is harsh that way. The truth is untenable for someone who's struggling with their brokenness without relationship. If you don't have relationship, don't start with truth. Christ didn't, and Christ didn't with you. In God's timing, in God's relationship, one to another, us to God, the truth does come into play, and we do need to seek it in our lives and in those that we love's lives. And we do need to guide and help them along, understanding the broken state that we're all in. So if that truth is not couched in grace, if it's not balanced in that perspective that we say is really hard to maintain, one side or the other will get lost. God leads for grace for our condition. Grace for our sins. Grace for our failures. Grace for our depravities. Greed, gluttony, lust, jealousy, pride. Did I hit one of yours yet? I can go on. They're all listed in Scripture. Yes, there's truth. But yes, there's grace. We're broken, and the others are broken, and we need to find a way to show grace to them in our churches so that they can find what we found in a grace-filled, unconditional gift from Christ. Spruce Lake is a place that we work hard at that. I'm going to use Wilderness Camp as an example. My least favorite age bracket of children. You ready for this? And none of them, oh my, they're right up front. 8 to 12. Did I get you? Johnny, you placed them there for this, didn't you? The reason they won't let me be a counselor at Wilderness Camp is I bring duct tape. Doesn't work anymore in this culture. You're not allowed to do that. I agree. You should never have been allowed to do it. It's a joke. But the reality of it is 8 to 12-year-olds make me want to duct tape them together. You guys figure this out. I don't want to deal with it anymore. But at Wilderness Camp, We take 8 to 12-year-olds in on a Sunday evening, and we create what's called a temporary community for them. And we ask our counselors to love on those children in a manner that they see Christ in them and in their person. And if you think from Sunday to Wednesday that goes well all the time, you'd be misinformed. It does not always go well. They end up talking to the assistant director, then they end up talking to the director, and then we take them for walks and have a second talk with them. But it's all based in grace for one reason. Because on Wednesday night, in an age-appropriate manner, we will ask if they would consider a relationship with Jesus Christ. And if we don't lead with grace and don't have relationship, when we invite them to go to the volleyball court and sit with their counselor, if they so want, they're not going to go. It's that simple. If they're not in relationship, they're not going. This temporary community that functions at Wilderness Camp with our children, it's just a little tiny picture of what our lives ought to look like. We have people in our day, in our journey, that we are supposed to be loving on in grace until we get an opportunity to go, you know the difference you see in me? It's Christ. I know. Because everybody that you say that to kind of looks at you like, yeah, I know there's a difference, but I'm not sure that's it. But if you're in relationship, you can continue that conversation. So the Sunday games and the fun we have from this day to this day to this day till we get to Wednesday gives us opportunity to go, let's pray about that. You see something in me as a counselor that you want. Let's talk about what that is. Why I have not taped you to a tree with duct tape is that Jesus Christ works in me and loves me, and he loves you. And that is our journey as a Christian, is to bump and bumble through life in such a manner that people go, I had a really bad day. I'm going to go talk to Jim. Something's different about him. Opportunity. The world's watching us, guys. The world is watching us self-destruct as a church. In fact, I just spoke to an insurance broker in my old life whose insurance company only insures churches and nonprofits. And the literal rating agency, the financial rating agency of that insurance company just said to them, we are going to downgrade your rating. And they said, why? Because the evangelical church is dead in America. And that's your business model, therefore you're at risk. Huh? The financial folks are looking at the church going, yeah, it's over. The reality of it is they're watching. And my favorite phrase about this is they've seen it, they've bought the t-shirt, and they don't want it anymore. They're looking at church going, uh-uh. They've had enough religion. They've had enough church in this culture. I made the following statement during COVID. After a couple of those afternoons in the lobby over here, I went, if I did not have a personal, deepening relationship with who Jesus Christ is to me and with him, I would no longer be a Christian. Because what I'm watching in my own congregations and in my own churches, I don't want to be part of. But what I do want is that relationship. And I want to maintain that relationship. And I'm telling you flat out, when people see that relationship in you, instead of seeing church or religion, they will want it too. Because what this culture wants is authentic relationship, one to another, and with something that they don't quite understand, which is Jesus, which is the answer to this world's problems. Everyone, I mean everyone, is looking for relationship. And they want it to matter, and they want it to be real, and they don't want it to be surface level. They need to see the difference in us before they want anything we have. And if we lead with truth, If we put our soapbox on the corner of Main and Fifth and preach the truth, they're not only going to walk by you, they're going to do what I did. Because I was sitting at a restaurant on the side of this, on the sidewalk, and I was embarrassed about what I was watching the church do that day to people as they walked past them. Nobody is going to respond in this culture to, you're going to hell, you need to. We've heard it. They've heard it. What they need to hear is, I have a relationship that matters to me and it's changed my life. Want to talk about it? They can't see it through us defining right and wrong. They won't see it. In fact, they're rigid enough, they will refuse and chase you out. Speaking the truth and demanding right living and calling out sin is the wrong approach. It's not how Christ did it. Why did we turn and try to do it that way? They might see it. They just might see it if we model Christ, if we lead with grace. We have to lead with grace. We need to accept them where they are, invite them into a relationship with us so that we can share a relationship with them one-on-one that someday, way too long into the future for some of us that have been praying this for people in our lives, someday they might go, tell me about this, Jesus. Open door. Accept them where they are. Invite them into relationship with you. Someday they'll ask to share what's different. Ask them. Someday they'll ask you to share what's different. What God's given us as grace-filled lives looks blessed to many people in our world. Get to know them. Let them ask the question. We do have a blessed life. And there's a blessed life waiting for all of the others, too. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for the opportunity to talk about this scripture. Thank you for this group of people that has spent the day here, this morning here with us, and the weekend on the property. Lord, you have blessed us tremendously. We have a grace we did not deserve, and we don't know what to do with many times. Lord, I beg you to show us how to walk, that others will see that love and that grace, and will somehow be led towards Jesus and your truths, and your call to a blessed life on them as well. Thank you for this morning. Thank you for the time. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.